Welcome to Three
Jokes. Three Jokes.
Three Jokes.
Three Jokes, yeah.
With Adrian's cliffhanger.
Oh, yes.
Oh, how am I going to follow that? I've got a terrible joke lined up.
So, years ago, when I first was living in China, I was living in Jinan, and my mom and my younger sister, they wanted to come and visit. And so they came, they flew in into Beijing. They were in Beijing for like a couple of days, and then they came to Jinan. And it was during the summertime when I had like summer classes. So I didn't have time off to really like show them around the city. Mm-hmm. And actually they went to Qingdao before I ever went to Qingdao. They spent 2 days in Qingdao, which I thought was really cool. But we decided on my day off to go climb Taishan. Mm-hmm.
And wait, hold on. Sorry,
it's Taiyuan.
Told you.
In Taiyuan, yeah.
Kind of like heckling a bit. Did you climb or hike?
Both.
I guess a mix of both.
Like, did you use...
Because the stairs at some point...
You can climb stairs.
Yeah, you climb a flight of stairs.
Climbing is about arms and legs and ropes.
I guess,
and harnesses.
Technically hiking Taishan. But towards the end there...
You start climbing.
You're
on your all four.
There's no flat parts for the last bit. It's just purely stairs.
Because you've got no energy. You're just collapsed over anyway.
We go to Taishan.
And hiked it.
My mom and my younger sister, they're very active. My mom is hiking constantly. My younger sister as well. And we're hiking up the mountain and
they didn't know you smoked.
They traveled light. I had my backpack with like my camera and lenses in it, and I have a big bottle of water and everything. And so like I'm like not, you know, lagging behind them, but like I'm definitely behind them. But not by far, only by like a couple of like stair sets. And we get to this one part where it's a flat area before it starts to get really steep towards the top. And I stop, I take some photos, and I'm going around like this whole area taking pictures. And I look around and I don't see my mom and sister. And I assume, they must have started climbing. And so I start climbing up to the top. And when I say up to the top, there's still like a decent amount of climbing to go before I reach the top. And I'm looking up and I don't see them. And I'm thinking like, wow, they must have just immediately left that area because I was there for maybe a solid like 10 minutes taking photos. And so I start climbing and I'm thinking like, I want to close the distance between them and myself. So I'm climbing faster and faster. And maybe after about 45 minutes of climbing, I reach the top and I'm waiting there at the top and I'm looking around for them and I'm thinking like, where could they possibly have gone? And so I pop on my telephoto lens and I'm like zooming in and I'm looking around to all the viewpoints there and I'm trying to see like, is that my mom? Is that my sister? Like, no, where are
You're
they?
Spying and on so, your family.
Yeah. And so I walk around to like the other little viewpoints and go around. I go check out the bathroom. They're not over there. And I'm thinking like, where could they possibly be? And so I wait. I wait at the top for like an hour and I cannot find them. And then the sun is starting to go down. And while I'm at the top, I have my phone and I'm trying to call them. But my phone
signal. Yeah.
The signal was okay, but my phone didn't make international calls. And so I'm texting my friends in Jinan that have international phone cards or just an international phone plan. And I'm sending them my mom and sister's phone number. And I'm like, hey, can you guys call my mom and sister? I don't know where they are. Like, I really need to get in touch with them. We're climbing the mountain. We got separated. And all my friends are like, oh, yeah, sure. And they call, no answer. Call, no answer. Nothing. And so the sun is starting to go down, still no sign of my mom and sister. And so I just start climbing down the mountain and it gets dark. And we were not planning on staying there that late. And it is like pitch black. You cannot see anything. And my phone at the time was not a phone that had a flashlight. So I'm just like climbing down slowly, holding on to the side. And I'm exhausted because we climbed the whole entire day and I walked around looking for
them. Could you use your camera flash?
No, because I mean, at that time, the phone I was using was just a basic...
No, I mean your camera.
Oh, my camera flash? I mean...
Or you could have gone like night mode on your camera?
It would have been like a strobe kind of, but like it didn't have like night vision mode or anything like that. Nothing like that. And so I climb all the way down to the bottom, complete darkness. And I get to the bottom and I wait there for like half an hour to see if they're like hanging around there or if they were maybe coming behind me. Nothing. They are not there. And at this point, it's maybe like 9 p.m. And so I hail a taxi. I go to the train station because I don't know what to do. And so I get a train back to Jinan. And the only train that was available was the slow train, and it was standing only. Mm. So I just hiked Taishan the entire day, and I'm the only foreigner on this slow train that's standing only. And I was wearing like a black shirt that was just like sweat soaked, so it's all like salt stains on it. I got my backpack. I'm looking disheveled.
A real traveler.
Like, yeah, like oof, like where did this guy just come from? And it's like 2 hours standing train back to Jinan. I get a taxi there, I go home, and I just collapse in bed. And I'm like, I don't know where my mom and sister are. They are completely gone to me at this point. And then the next day I get woken up to a phone call in my apartment, and it's my mom and sister. And the part where where they and I got separated, I went up thinking that they were up, but they had hung around that spot for like 45 minutes and they couldn't find me. And then they start climbing up a bit, and then my mom gets like exhausted or like vertigo or something, and she cannot climb any longer. And she was like showing on her camera my picture to people coming down, and they're like, and she's like, "Have you seen my son? Have you seen my son?" And everyone's like, "No, no." And one young guy who's maybe like 18, 20 years old, he was like, "Yeah, I think I saw him, but he's up at the top." And my mom was like, "Oh no, I need to get in touch with him. I need to tell him that we're not gonna climb anymore." And this guy goes, "Oh, it's okay, I'll go back up." And this guy starts running up the mountain. Wow. Runs up the mountain, apparently got to the top, couldn't find me, because at that point I was going around to all the other viewpoints to try and find my mom and sister.
Oh god.
And so he goes and he looks for me, can't find me. He runs back down the mountain to my mom and sister and says, "Sorry, I couldn't find him." And so my mom and sister took the cable cars back to the bottom of the mountain. Luckily, they had cash on them, and they walked to a hotel nearby, booked a room in the hotel, and spent the night there. And me, at that, I'm like, "Oh my God, I just lost my mom and sister in China." And like,
what else can go wrong?
Right? And then when my mom called me the next day, I was like, "What is going on? I tried calling you guys." And they're like, "Oh, we didn't bring our phones." I was like, "Are you kidding me?
Oh,
you're in a foreign country and you don't speak the language. The only way you can communicate with anybody is by calling them with your phone that you brought with you, and you didn't bring it when you went hiking." And they're like, "Yeah, I know, stupid." And so they later on that day got a train back to Jinan, and they met me in Jinan, and I was just like, "You guys are ridiculous. Like, how could you do that? What went through your mind to think like, oh, I don't need to bring my phone?
I don't know if I should laugh or cry."
Right. I was losing my mind. I was like, how did I lose my mom and my sister on a mountain where there's only one path?
The way it goes, what goes in our heads at that moment is because we've experienced like that out of touch. We were on our own, and then we don't want this to happen to anyone.
Yeah.
So we want to protect or just be around those people.
And my sister is my younger sister, and at that time she was like 17 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 17 years old. And I'm just like, "Oh my God, I just lost my mom and sister on the mountain."
what a story. I mean, that is like a joke and a life lesson.
I do also have
an entertainment all in one.
A joke prepared. What is the smartest dinosaur?
Smartosaurus? No.
Harut is the smartest dinosaur.
That's an oxymoron.
Dinosaur. The smartest dinosaur. The thesaurus.
Ah.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Good one.
Where's the...
yes. Cheering. Laughter.
Perfect.
Mike, it's your turn, man.
I was getting really worried about the story. Doing my joke after following such an epic story. By the way, why did you go back to Gina? Why didn't you think about checking the hotels in the local area?
What is it, like a fight or flight?
At that point, like the thought didn't even occur to me to try and look into staying at a hotel.
I was exhausted.
I'd only eaten like cucumbers and tomatoes because that's like what they sell on the mountain.
That's like fight or flight, right? Like that it kicks in when you're like really exhausted.
I was like, there's nobody here for me to fight, so I'm just gonna go home.
Leave, I can't do this anymore.
I guess that, I mean, Jinan from Taishan is
quite a long way back. The slow train was like 4 hours back then?
No, I think it was like 2 hours. It was like two hours.
Is it? That's fast for a slow train over here.
Taiyuan's not that far from
Jinan. I mean, for a slow train to anywhere, that's very, very fast.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there was a middle model, like slow train, medium, and fast train. I don't know, but
I think there's only one at that for that. I mean, for that line, I think there was only one stop in between Taiyuan and Jinan.
Okay.
So it was like almost direct.
But that's still very, very
fast. It wasn't as long as like I would
Beijing have dreaded. To Qingdao in 2002. Yeah. But 15 and a half hours.
Oh my God.
I mean, I wasn't here 15 years ago, but I was here like 10 years ago. And the fast train between like Zibo, Jinan, Qingdao, Jinan to Qingdao is like 4 hours.
That's
to Qingdao is two hours.
Well, I think now they actually have the super high speed rail line that goes from Qingdao to Jinan, and it's like an hour.
Wow.
But it's expensive.
But I do remember sort of looking at Qingdao to Jinan, Qingdao to Zibo, and vice versa. This is when I first came to China, like slow train prices. And it was kind of like, it was very cheap, but it was like, oh, well, this is kind of like an overnight thing. You know, we're going to go real slow.
The funny part is like, even if it's like, for, what is it, 5 hours to Beijing from Qingdao now?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, roughly four or five hours. You got
3G.
It's a very comfortable ride. Yeah.
Imagine like doing 15 hours.
I had to do a book train from Tianjin to Qingdao, but it was during the tomb sweeping holiday.
Oh,
and so like I mean, even that holiday, some people are like traveling a bit. So like tickets for the cheap tickets were sold out. So I had to buy the executive class.
I've been
tickets.
To that one too.
Dude, it was like 1,000
kwai. Four seats, right?
Yeah, four seats. And it's like, you're sitting in this like weird, like sci-fi, like eggshell seat that can like fully recline to like a full like laying down my bed.
I had the same experience too in 2019. My brother booked it. So we flew, we took the train to Beijing and we flew to Armenia. That was the last time I was out of the country, by the way. And then we came back and then
COVID
happened.
I would say to anyone listening, though, if you are in China or you're in China now, you should definitely book a ticket on the slow train.
Why is that?
Because it is an experience that you will never forget.
The sleeper trains are great. I took one of those from Jinan to small city called Zhoucheng, and that was like maybe less than 6 hours. I think it was between like 4 and 6 hours, but it was great. I had a bed and I conked out. I was like, this is comfortable.
But I mean, if you're, you know, if you're not going to conk out like you did, spending an extended period of time on those trains, it is an experience.
Oh, yeah.
Like you'll go through every kind of emotion that you can feel.
I think,
but it's kind of one of those bucket list things that you just have to do. Like if you want to experience like real culture,
but not to Jinan only. Like I think
that whole experience, because it kind of goes back to it. It's still like we're all about modern technology and high speed these days, and how to get from one place to another so fast. But and that was how people traveled. not even that long ago.
But the right. two famous routes, like to be on a bucket list, I think one is from Beijing to Tibet.
Mm-hmm.
You see the different, I don't know how many provinces it go to.
You see like every type of landscape.
Yeah. And then the second one's like Qingdao all the way to Xinjiang.
But also, or you just mean like in China in general? Because there's, the Trans-Siberian Railway. Oh, where it's like a 30-day trip.
Yeah. I think a week, no?
No, I think it's longer than that. From start to finish, it's like 30 days
or something. You got like Trans-Siberia, but then there's also the Oriental Express, which is the one that runs through Europe and heads towards Asia as well.
Oh, okay.
So like if you wanted to not fly to China, you could get the Orient Express through Europe.
Mm.
And then the Oriental Express doesn't come directly to China, but you could get the Oriental Express
connecting kind of
to Trans-Siberia and then work your way
to Vladivostok.
Work your way into China that way. If you really enjoy like rail travel. It would take time, but you know, you could do that.
This year, I don't know what cruise line it is. Maybe like Carnival Cruise or something like that. I don't know exactly which one it is. But they just released
their longest cruise,
and it is an 11-month long cruise.
Oof.
And you go all over the world.
Hmm.
And the base ticket, like the cheapest ticket, starts at $60,000. $60,000 to travel for 11 months.
Always Carnival.
And usually they include like every, you know, meals are all included in that. It's all inclusive.
Well, could you live on a boat for 11 months, though? I mean,
that's the thing. You're not living entirely on the boat. Like, it's going to stop at cities and stuff like that.
But
and, like, different countries and different ports.
But, okay, here's a what-if question for you, then, right? Because I know for a fact cruise ships work on very tight deadlines. What if you've booked an 11-month cruise, and after the first month, you happen to be late back to the boarding call? They don't wait for you, man.
No,
they just sail off.
No. You have to take a flight to whatever their next spot
is
and try
and
catch it.
At least you've got time to get to the next spot.
The next one, yeah.
If you're not good at timekeeping,
yeah, you're screwed.
You're going to spend a lot of money catching up with the boat.
Like each stop, you got
each destination, yeah, a couple of days. Yeah.
You do, but you've got to be very, very, very strict with your time. So you might say, okay, we're stopping here. You've got... You've got three days to experience this city. But let's not forget, you've got to sleep during that time as well. So it's isn't really 3 days. It's like a day and a half kind of thing, you know?
But like when you go to those cities, I imagine like if you are like, you know, not trying to spend a ton of money, especially on a cruise that's 11 months long, if you stop at a city for 3 days, you'll go back to the boat to sleep because you have a room there already. Yeah. And probably eat some of your meals there. So you probably go back to the boat, sleep, eat breakfast, go out, spend the day in a different city, maybe spend the night there, and then late at night, maybe go back to the boat to sleep there. Or else you'll be spending top dollar because they know that you just probably showed up with a cruise ship because that's like, everyone, when a cruise ship comes into port, all those businesses are like, all right, time to jack the price up by like 15%.
Well, my theory is this, right? You find a beach very close
to the boat
where the cruise ship is, right? And then not on the first row, but on like the second or third row, you find like a nice restaurant or a bar to chill out in, and you spend your day and a half or two days just in that area, just properly relaxing. Or maybe there's like a swimming pool or something, you know, kind of something like that.
Deck
chairs on the beach. Deck chairs. Oh, God. Deck chairs. That's so old and British now. What are the sunbeds? Sunbeds on the beach.
There you go.
Anyway, speaking of travel, I do... This joke is kind of like travel-ish, but we're going to the skies with this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, here you go. Imagine I'm a really corny stand-up comedian, which I probably am anyway, telling one of my first ever jokes live on stage.
Ooh.
So are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and do professional voice.
This is an original.
No.
Ah.
It could be, but I mean, everyone else has thought of it. But I'm going to try and do one of your, Adrian, one of your professional voiceover skits.
All right.
As it were, as a first-time stand-up comedian. In the British accent. I can't do the American one. So, hey, you guys.
That's fine.
So,
that's totally fine.
Here you go.
That's
Are you ready? So, you guys, what's the deal with airplane food?
I don't know.
Come on, you know airplane food. What's the deal with airplane food? What's up with it? What's the deal with airplane food?
I don't know.
Usually pretty gross.
It's always so plain.
Ooh. Oh.
Now you're a chef. You should get that one.
That was a good one.
For those of you listening that don't know what, you know, plain isn't adjective as well. It can be used to describe something that is very boring and bland and just...
blasé.
Tasteless. So there you go. That's my travel slash food joke.
So I'm going to tell you a story, and the last part should be funny.
What about the first part and the second part? And the third part, and the fourth part, and the fifth part, and the sixth part.
There are no six parts. It's just a story. All right, so here we go.
Is this part of your trilogy?
It's not a trilogy.
What's the fourth?
Can I tell the story?
What comes off the trilogy?
Let's just tell the story, man. Just
quadrology.
All right, ready? Can I?
Please.
All right.
Is it about your childhood?
All right, please listen. I was downstairs the other day, and then my neighbor, she's like 85, and she's got a dog. I'm always friendly to people, I greet people, and I was like, hello, and then I had my headphones on, and I noticed her mouth, you know, moving, so just obviously started a conversation with me. So I removed one part of the headphone, and then I said, oh, excuse me, what did you say? She's like, oh, did you leave the country? I haven't seen you for a long time. I'm like, no, I've always been here. And she said, are you from Spain? I said, no, I'm not, I'm from Lebanon. And she said, oh, my daughter works in Spain. So the first time, like, she's trying to, you know, talk to me and really get to know her, or try to get to know me. I'm like, well, my brother's in Spain, which means nothing.
Does he know her?
Nah.
Not yet.
And then she said, and what about your, you know, partner? I said, we're not together anymore, you know, because she used to see my ex, right? And she said, oh, my daughter has lots of single friends. And how old are you? I said, I'm 40. And
ish.
40-ish. And she said, oh, my girlfriend, like, you should marry a Chinese lady. I'm like, well, thank you. And then she's like, I'm going to, like, I talk to my daughter and introduce you, you know, like, she can introduce you to one of her friends. And then the next $1 million question popped up, which is, how much money do you make a month?
Oh, that's a question. Enough.
How much do you think I said it was?
Oh, at least double what it actually is, right?
Nah.
You went double.
I divide. Okay. Come on, man. You don't play all your... You don't show all your cards.
No, man. You could just, like, let anyone ask you that
so
question.
So I said whatever number came at my, like, to my...
Enough. Yeah. I make enough.
I said, I mean, you know, and I said, I live a very simple life, so I don't spend a lot of money.
There you go.
Very important.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got my own car.
And then she went on and said, she asked me, oh, you know, like, they all have houses. It's really important to own a house.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially for the lady. Money. I'm like,
Is it?
Okay. Well, it was like, okay. And it's like, you look like a nice person. I'm gonna, and then I said, all right, I'm going to leave now. And I was, as I turned around and I was like, took a couple of steps, I heard her say, Jianfei, huh?
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh, look
like,
at
put
that.
Me on that, like, you know, start losing weight, okay? So that's like, what is it with women and fixing men and all the time?
It's
all the time, like,
you know,
trying to
it's
fix
it. Funny
us.
You say that, because it kind of brings me back to something I've read just recently, right? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, people screenshot stuff
mm-hmm.
all the time on social media, and it was like, it was a screenshot of like these instant messages people send, I guess, mm-hmm. but like
mm-hmm.
Maybe WeChat or, you know, the Western ones,
like, yeah.
Tinder ones are funny.
And the ones you can have over here, like, and it was kind of like, I guess it was a girl messaged a guy. It was like, "What's your height?" And the guy didn't say. The guy was like, "What's your weight?" And the girl was like, "Why would you actually ask me such a derogatory question?" I was like, well, and the guy was like, well, I don't know what his response was, but my theory was, well, if numbers and figures are so important to you, why should my height make a difference in what your weight is? You're asking me for my height, I'm asking you for your weight. What's the difference in question here? We're looking for figures. We're looking for information, for fact. You're more than happy to ask my height, but if I ask your weight, you're suddenly a offended?
Well, it's different.
do you know what I mean? It's kind of
horizontal and vertical.
It's kind of like, well, it's kind of like, well,
different angles.
I saw.
It's kind of like, okay, I'm 5'8", but I'm a good 5'8". I'm 6'3", but I'm not a good 6'3", you know?
I saw a funny
screenshot
from
but it was kind of like, why you're asking my height?
Mm.
I'm asking you your weight. We feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
The way you feel about me asking your weight is how you feel about me asking my height. Because you know why?
Yeah.
It means the same thing. We both know what it means. It means the same thing.
I saw a funny one. It was a screenshot of a conversation. I think it was from like Tinder. And a girl asked the guy what his height was. And he said he was 4'26". And she said, okay, bye. Too short for me. And he's like, I don't think your math is very good. And she deleted him. And it's like 4'26", that's 6'2". 6'2".
Yeah.
Just joking around like that. But that's the thing.
There's
this thing that's really
weird. People, man.
Yeah, that's the thing with like the online dating apps. It's very unhealthy. It's very unhealthy
very,
for people's mental states, mental psyche.
I've never been a part of any of these online things.
I've never
been part of like Tinder or any kind of like online, because I'm very old school.
Mm.
I'm kind of like no joke, and I promise you, no joke.
Mm.
Good job my wife's not listening to this podcast. Every girl I've met has always been like, you know, face to face.
Right.
Oh, it's the same for
flirt,
everyone.
Do you know what
like,
I mean?
Like our generation.
I mean, but no, I mean, like when I first came to Qingdao, I was on Tinder, but that was mainly because I was new here and I didn't know anybody. Mm. But I mean, I met some really interesting people on Tinder though. Some like people that like I had like memorable dating experiences with. And like some that are just like so outlandish and so like crazy and so funny that like I know it depends on, I guess, the person's like personality. There's some people that go on there and they have like a lot of success with like meeting people, and it's like, you know, consistent meeting people. But a lot of it is just like it's a minefield. It's definitely
like
a minefield.
I said, like when I was performing, I had a bit on Tinder. I went on it like and just to do some research. I mean, and I was right about it. Like I checked, people put photos, and then the photos are very like from the photographer's angle. You see, it's erotic.
Yeah.
But then the description is not, it's like of a nuns, you know, like there's like so.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm like,
yeah, just looking for friends, but it's like, yeah, you know, like thong pictures. Yeah. Something where you're just like a little confused, like, these two don't really add up. I don't understand what you're getting at.
No, man, I got two questions for you before we close the show.
Sure, sure.
Question number one, you talked about success on dating apps like Tinder. I mean, is it? Is it a success if you're on Tinder for that long?
When I say, when I use the word success, I'm describing like when you're using those dating apps, you'll match with quite a few people on them, but very seldom will you have like genuine conversations with someone who you think is like a normal and like a stable human being that you would want to actually meet in person in a public space.
So on those dating apps, what is success?
Success is
how many matches you get or when you're off.
No, what I mean, what I mean when I say success with them is meeting people face to face and actually like interacting with them. Because like a lot of it is like you match with someone and like you don't even talk to them. Like
they don't
here
reply.
In China. Either they don't reply or like here in China they reply and it's like there's quite a few people here or quite a few, I mean it must be the same with men as well, but like there's quite a few people here that are like on Tinder to interact with foreigners to like practice English.
They don't
understand
the function,
like
the real function.
Yeah,
it's a good form to practice, though, isn't it? Really, if you think
yeah,
about
I mean,
it,
sure,
it's
yeah.
A great
I mean, like if you were a guy and you wanted to practice English and you were on Tinder, the easiest way to do it would be make a profile where it's pictures of like really attractive girls, and then you just match with guys and you just start conversations with them, and you just do not allow it to get anywhere like, you know, like sexual in any way. Just like, oh yeah, how was the weather today? Like a really good forum to practice your English.
How do you spell November?
How do you spell catfish? And here's my second, don't do that, by the way. Don't be a guy and get a picture of a girl. Like profiling yourself out as some really nice looking girl. If you do that, I will find you. Here's my second question for you, and this is gonna hopefully end the show. Which you will do for us very nicely.
All right.
I want to bring it back to food.
All right.
Because you're a foodie.
Yep.
And you were a very successful chef.
Some success, yeah.
Okay, you're a chef.
Right.
You can make food in a restaurant. And I've heard about Adrian's specials. Would you like to... Before we close the show, what is an Adrian special? What is your signature dish? What do you love to eat the most?
I like, well, here in China, like if I'm cooking at home and it's like comfort food, like stuff that I really enjoy making, I love making like my own style of curry with like a coconut milk base, usually with chicken. And like potatoes and like other vegetables and then like rice. But recently, because I bought an oven earlier this year, like a decent size oven, making pizza is so satisfying here. Making pizza is great. But also recently I just bought an air fryer.
Oh, we talked about it last week. He's
one of
those guys.
Bloody hell.
But I mean, I'm not using it for everything.
He takes photos of it every day and just shares it.
That's not true. That's not true.
That's Doom Bear.
He's like, this way you just hold it. You just hold the thing in the air.
That's Doom Bear.
All right. So the other day,
you and Doom.
I made chicken in it recently. I did Brussels sprouts in it. I came home from work one day.
I mean, that doesn't sound like very satisfying. Chicken and Brussels sprouts.
How much is this?
Well, I bought mine during the 11/11 special. It was Philips brand, and it was like marked down from 1800 RMB. No, it was either 1600 or 1700 RMB. Marked down to 600 RMB.
Ooh.
And it's good.
$100.
It's good. It's worth it. There's cheaper ones on there too.
Right. But now, in 2 weeks' time...
Mm-hmm. Will I still be using it?
No. In 2 weeks' time, check how much that costs.
That's exactly.
And I bet it'll be like 800 RMB or 500 RMB or something.
Yeah, they just jack up the price right before.
Not that I'm a cynic or anything, but just let's see how real that
But they're cool. They're cool.
What is with this air fryer thing? I don't get it.
It's hot air.
Yeah, might as well hang food outside the window.
Oh, it doesn't get hot enough.
That's a difference.
No, I know. I get it. I'm just trying to make a cheap joke. I'm trying to make a cheap joke, everyone. All right? It's getting
lit. It's the air moving at a high temperature, at a high speed. And it's because of that it like evenly cooks everything around. Like, I bought raw cashews and poured it in there. And within like 10 minutes, I had like perfectly evenly roasted cashews. You can do that in the oven too, but it's not going to be evenly roasted.
Is this going to...
Not on like all sides. Like, it was in perfect cashews.
Chef's worried about this.
And then?
Because the first time I had air fried food was maybe 6 years ago. Mm. And I was in Portland, Oregon. And I was visiting my sister. We went to a restaurant and they had air-fried French fries. And they were delicious. And it takes much less oil, much fewer time to make it.
That's what my point is. Are chefs worried about it? It's because you can use anyone's using an air fryer, no?
Yeah, but I mean, were chefs worried about ovens? Were chefs worried about blenders? Chefs worried about microwaves? No. It depends.
I don't know how to cook, but it sounds to me like I could put anything. I could put anything into an air fryer and go, oh, this is delicious.
Yeah, but I mean, you still have to have some idea of
to marinate,
how to cook, like marinating it, also the correct temperature, the correct time. I mean, it's just like an oven. It's just like an oven, except
it could go dry, right? Like, if you overcook it, it can go dry.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And that's what some people do. Some people are in there, like, drying things. Like, you can, I haven't tried it, but you could put bananas or like sliced apple in there to make like dried apple rings.
You're like, oh, I was supposed to make
apple pie gone wrong.
I was supposed to make beef. I overcooked it, but
now it's jerky. Beef jerky.
That's the thing. Actually, a bunch of people, I looked on Reddit, a bunch of people love air fryers for making their own jerky.
Yeah.
Which, that's pretty cool. Because jerky's expensive.
Yeah.
And they don't use the best quality meat for most jerkies. So you could buy some low quality meat here and make jerky, and you would like save some
preservatives
dollars.
In them too.
Yes, that's the other thing.
So what is your dish? Your number one dish? No, as
curry,
a chef.
You said. Well, I like to cook curry for myself, like as like comfort food. But one thing I love to make is pico de gallo. De gallo. I love pico de gallo, and because it's so simple to make, it's only like maybe 5 ingredients at most, and 3 of them are spices.
What goes into pico de gallo?
So it's diced tomatoes and then diced onions. You can do either just white onions or white and red onions, whatever you want. And then I usually put some cilantro in there. If I'm getting into it, I'll put a little bit of garlic in there too. And then after that, it's just like white pepper and lemon juice, maybe a couple of splashes of like Tabasco.
Paprika? No paprika?
You can put paprika if you want, for sure. Yeah. And but when I put like Tabasco sauce, it's like...
Is cilantro or parsley?
No. Two different things. Yeah. Cilantro.
And lime?
Lime. If you do lime or lemon, either one. Mm. I think traditionally it's lime. Traditionally it's lime. Traditionally it's lime. But I love this stuff because you can... just chop it all up, mix it together, let it sit for like a few minutes, and it's solid. It's good to go. Mm-hmm. And you can put it on like anything. You can put it on, eggs in the morning. You can use chips to eat it. You could make like a quesadilla with it. You can use it for so many different things. And it stays good for maybe like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
It's good. It's tasty. I love making it. It's so
very
quick, so easy.
Sounds very, very fresh.
Yeah. And for like here in China, like, I mean, you can buy salsa here, but it's usually not the best quality. But if you ever want to get fancy,
without having to actually get fancy. You can just make pico de gallo and it's delicious. It's good.
Oh, Adrian, don't stop me
now.
Now. You know why?
We'll go from...
Because we're having a good verse time.
Because we're having a good time.
Yeah.
And we're having a ball.
Because having a good time and then we can finish the part. Because it's really late. It's about 1 a.m.
It's now. Getting late, so...
It is 1 a.m. So I'm going to keep it really melodic and lullaby-ish.
Keep it lullaby-ish.
Whispering.
Keep it calm. Keep it chilled. Okay, you guys. If you are still with us, you can hear Harut tuning up the guitar right now. It is that time, if you've not already, to get your DD out of here. I've not forgotten you, by the way. Hope you're still listening. And Adrian is going to give us a very relaxed, jazz-ish version of a very popular song called Don't Stop Me Now by Queen.
By Queen. Ready?
Here.
Ready.
We go.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time.
Yes.
I feel alive.
Better than dead.
And the world, I'll turn it inside out. Yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy, so don't stop me now.
Please don't.
Don't stop me, cause I'm having a good time, having a good time. I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity.
I'm not falling.
I'm a racing car passing by like Lady Godiva.
So fast.
I'm gonna go, 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 go. There's no stopping me.
Unless there's a red light.
I'm burning through the sky, yeah. 200 degrees, that's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit.
300 degrees.
I'm traveling at the speed of light. I wanna make a supersonic man out of you.
Alright.
So don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now. If you wanna have a good time, I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now, I'm having a good time. Don't stop me now, I'm having a good time. I don't want to stop at all.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. There come the neighbors.
You know what? I don't often say this, but actually, I did not think you were going to be a good singer.
I used and to. You I was in children's chorus for 5 years when I was younger.
You are.
I have some decent vocal control.
All those years of singing those songs to kids.
I have a voice that's meant to be heard.
Yeah.
But only if you choose to.
You know how celebrities like insure their body parts? Maybe you should insure your vocal cords.
Yeah.
He's not there yet.
No, I should though. It would look really good on our resume.
The guy
no,
is good. The, you're good. He's the voice of Shandong.
If my vocal cords,
he's the voice of Shandong. Even though the underground's gonna disagree, he's the voice of Shandong.
I had a $10 million payout for my vocal cords,
and he can sing as well.
You know who insured there, but like when you talk about
J Lo, you talk about J Lo.
Samantha Fox was the first
and
one.
And J Lo.
Do you know who Samantha Fox is?
No, who's that?
It's too young. You too.
Samantha Fox.
Yeah, I'm some old.
Who
Samantha
that?
Fox. I think she sang a song like she was.
She's a singer or an actor?
Singer.
What did she sing?
I think Touch Me. Very.
She sang a song called Touch Me, then insured her body. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, Touch Me. 86.
Sounds like an insurance scam.
like, touch me. I want to feel your body. It's crazy, yeah. Right? Cheesy.
I don't get it.
I think she like $1 million on each, you know.
Each what?
Each speaker.
For each body part.
Yeah. What are we, what? My goodness. Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. All right. Yeah.
Bing it, everyone.
Well, welcome to the adult hour. Songs where people...
Expattery podcast after dark.
Yeah. Oh, so let's see how sober he is. This part, the last part, is the outro. And we usually give the guest, our guest, the privilege and the honor the outro? To read.
It is our privilege. Oh.
And for this, so far, okay. Everyone stuttered and then they were
well... Luckily, you guys have a professional in your midst.
Yes.
Can you read it upside down?
No, that I probably could not do. Maybe sideways, but no, not upside down.
You can do it sideways.
I don't want to. I would love to make it perfect for you guys.
Go ahead.
All right.
It is our pleasure and
this
honor.
This is the outro. I hope you found today's episode meaningful. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe to the Qingdao Expattery podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Acast, or whatever podcast platform you use. We'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and a share. If you have any thoughts on today's episode you'd like us to further talk about, or you'd like to be a guest, email us at the Qingdao Expattery Podcast at Outlook.com. Outlook.com.
It's free.
It's free.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're sponsored by Outlook.
You've just emphasized it as well.
I know, right? Did I just say the Qingdao Expattery Podcast at Outlook.com? Is that what I just said?
Yeah. Why didn't you say it again?
I thought I said the Qingdao Expattery Podcast at Outlook.com.
Yes. Yeah,
that's the same again. Yeah, yeah. Did I say it that many times?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Also, and I would like to just quickly give a subtle and humble shout out to the tourism company that I work for in Qingdao, which has some big plans for next year. A lot of events and, as I like to call it, salons, going and having some little gatherings. And
there you go there.
And so keep an ear out, an eye out for all of that stuff.
All right. And we'll add the Instagram and social media of that
tourism
company and the article that goes with the episode.
Fantastic.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And
thank you again, everybody. And see you, listen to you, hear you next week. Goodbye.
Thanks, Adrian.
For now.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you, Adrian.
Yep.